Today's date is Saturday, June 6, 2026. Welcome to the OA Working with Others sponsorship meeting. Now, Ingrid H will share for up to 20 minutes. Ingrid, it's all yours.
Thank you so much, Carol. Hi, everybody. I'm Ingrid. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater and bulimic one day at a time. I am by no means cured of this disease. Thank you, Elizabeth. I'm trying to look at all the boxes for today for asking me to share today. And Ellen, thank you for timing and my high maintenance need, but I really. This is a different format, and I just want to make sure that I get through kind of what I prepared on sponsoring, how I sponsor. I'm thrilled that we have this meeting. When I started sponsoring, there was no meeting like this on a regular basis. There were workshops, so or you know, like conferences or things like that where you could learn more about being a sponsor. But this is I just think it's amazing that this meeting was started. So for me, like sponsoring is just essential and a key part of my recovery. I was very nervous when I came back after a 10-year relapse 4 years ago. I was nervous to like start sponsoring just because of my experience sponsoring before the my relapse. I don't. My recovery is just very different this time around. And when I look back, I don't think I was spiritually grounded, and my approach was very, I would probably just describe haphazard. So I didn't want to bring that experience this time around. Also, I just want to acknowledge that for me, and I don't. Maybe I don't know if I'm alone or not, but in the beginning, there was so much for me compare and despair, and I would like assume things about others, like as shared, and I'd like, oh, I'm not good enough, you know, I'm not knowledgeable enough like they are. I felt inadequate. I would like idolize others. You know, that's a defect of character. In the room and just like, oh, I gotta be like them, you know, and there's just like this thinking and the like, my recovery is not good enough. And I've learned today that the blessing of recovery and the 12 steps is that recovery is available to all of us, to any of us that are willing to be honest. And I've come to over time appreciate my own journey and everyone's unique journey, and to recognize like we're just not we're in the room because you know I'm here because I need these 12 steps, but my journey to recovery is not going to be exactly the same as someone else's. So when I found a sponsor when I came back, I needed to find someone who before I was like, I want it like easy and softer way. And I knew from that dark place that I had been in that I needed someone that wouldn't allow me to manipulate and like to be hard enough on me, but loving enough too, because I don't do well with like just a very harsh approach. Yeah, that just doesn't really work for me. But at the same time, I needed someone to like call me on my BS and like say, no, this is what I'm asking you to do. And I needed to be held accountable to that. And I wanted to find someone who had what I wanted, right? And I'm just so like immensely grateful for the sponsor that took me through the steps when I came back out of relapse. The way we started out, how I was sponsored, I needed to identify my alcoholic foods and behaviors. I had to make a commitment to the foods and behaviors I was willing to abstain from. find a food plan. For me, I went to a nutritionist and got a food plan. I had to commit my food in advance. No more like, oh, I kind of feel like doing this today. That did not work for me personally, and I needed the
5 minutes.
structure. Thank you. I need that 5 minutes. Thank you. Committing my food, minimizing eating out in the very beginning. My sponsor asked me to do. I mean, there were sometimes I needed to, but I always committed that in advance. If I was going to make any changes to my food, I had to text or call her. I attended 3 meetings a week. I had to do all my step work assignments. We used the Big Book and the AA 12 and 12. I met with my sponsor throughout the week, around 3 to 4 times a week. We would be on a call for an hour in the morning, 30 minutes of quiet time. And for me, that was like writing, like journaling, prayer, meditation, 3 outreach calls, which I absolutely despised. And I love them today, but I'm so glad I was told to do that. In fact, when I told my sponsor, like, oh, I texted a few people today, and she said, you are to call people, not text. Like, I mean, sure, I could text someone, but I had to get in at least 3 calls. And I'm so glad that I was asked to do that. That was a suggestion. And also just to look for ways to make daily self-sacrifices, like just acts of kindness to others, just to get out of myself. That could be something as simple as like allowing someone to go in front of me when their turn signal is on, instead of being rude and pretending as if I don't see them, to like taking my neighbor's trash cans in, just finding ways to like get out of me. So how I sponsor is very similar to how I was sponsored, because that was my experience. Over time, I have really focused more on asking God for guidance and for me to set aside everything I think I know and like how this should be, and to show me ways that I can be useful to the specific person that I'm working with. And I say that that's happened over time, because in the very beginning, I mean, there's still structure, but maybe I was a bit too rigid, and like not seeing people that were in need of a sponsor for where they were at that time. That doesn't mean that, like, the sponsee is in the driver's seat. But everyone, I don't know, my experience is that the cookie cutter approach doesn't necessarily work in my experience only. And I'm going to keep saying that. So I asked my sponsees to have a food plan. And sometimes it takes time to develop what that is. We look at like, what have you been eating? What is your food history? What are your red light foods, your green light foods? And let's come up with a food plan. I am not a nutritionist. So there's pamphlets in OA. It's no longer the Dignity of Choice. The Plan of Eating is the updated version. There's food plans in there, or with a nutritionist. But what are the boundaries and the parameters? And then also just to minimize eating out in the very beginning, just while we're working through steps. And for me, it was important to find a way to sustain what I'm doing, like and to find habits that were loving and healthy and like just something that I needed. And it was easy to hit a drive-through or to always go out and not plan in advance. And so I found that helpful to commit the food in advance, the call or text any changes, 30 minutes of quiet time in the morning, along with the outreach calls. I asked my sponsors to do that to get to at least 3 meetings a week. And we do step work
5 minutes.
together. Thank you. So that consists of, like, I have podcasts that I will have my sponsees listen to and just highlight like 3 to 5 things that resonate. And those podcasts accompany what we're reading out of the literature. To highlight, so like when we have a phone call together, like, you know, if it's like we agnostics, you know, highlight what stood out, make your notes, and we go through that together. And then I use the AA 12 and 12, and I also incorporate the OA 12 and 12 with my sponsees. I ask for rigorous honesty. But I also recognize, like, I'm not the honesty police, you know? And so I can't be all like paranoid, like, oh, well, you know, what is that? Like, you know, jumping to conclusions or things like that, you know? I'm also a work in progress. So I will admit that, you know, sometimes those, I have those thoughts. But again, I'm not like the honesty police, and we are as sick as our secrets. And as my sponsor will tell me, I'm not going to use profanity, but FAFO, and you're going to find out. Like, if it will, it's going to, if you're being dishonest, eventually you just can't sustain it. The disease is going to take over. I keep a digital diary, which I am obsessed with. I have it on my iPhone and my iPad, and they have all these folders and yada, yada, yada. But one of them is like something I keep for like a folder OA sponsees. And in that, like, I have my notes from podcasts that I've assigned. And I've created like just this, what I call a framework. And it's everything that my sponsor had me do. And as I, like, you know, here's what we were going to do on step one and step two, and here are the links to the podcast. That just helps me stay organized, which I need. But also, as I attend more meetings, I come across more resources and hear more podcasts. I just start like putting that in the same document. So that I can share it, like, oh, this is a great podcast on, you know, how to do step 10. And so I'd love to share that with a sponsee in the future. So after my sponsee and I get through the steps, I leave it up to them on like how often they want to meet. It can be, you know, once a week, once a month, as needed. But I don't meet as frequently with a sponsee that I've taken through the steps because I use that time to start working with a new sponsee, like actively taking someone through the steps. And everyone's different. I have one sponsee, you know, we read from literature once a week and we share on it, which has been so lovely and has like, really, I feel like has just strengthened our relationship and knowledge of one another. You know, I have another sponsee. We talk once a month. It just, and from with my sponsor, we talk about once a month. But if I'm going through something and stuff comes up, she's makes herself available to me, and we talk as often as needed. And then I also have like a nightly review partner. And so when I do like my inventory at the end of the day, I share that with another fellow, and that's a way for me to stay connected and stay very much like transparent about what's going with me and my defects of character and resentment and fears and all that stuff that still continues to come up. I think that's, I'll stop there on like how I sponsor others. The other thing I would say, I don't know if I mentioned it, I just work with one person, like actively taking them through the steps. And for a while I was like, oh,
Five
this
minutes.
just, thank you. Like, this just isn't good enough, right? Like, I need to be doing more. I hear people like they've got four, they're doing group meetings and I've got it. And it's like, you know what? I have a full-time job, a demanding one. I have my the time that I need for myself, my quiet time. I have a family, you know, even though my kids are older, I still have a family. I have a husband. I like to exercise. I'm obsessed with pickleball. Just a little side note. So there are things that I have, right? Like that I this program is a designed for living. The 12 steps are designed for living. And so I do my best to, it's like my relationship with God in this program is absolutely first, no matter what. But I'm also not going to be a disservice to myself, my rest, and to a sponsee, frankly, by just trying to do way too much and piling too much on my plate. What has changed, if anything? Generally, I have sponsored, like it's been generally the same, but it I will also say it's been like an evolutionary experience for me. And that just as I get more experience, as I grow spiritually, as I feel more connected to my higher power and seek guidance and talk to other fellows and bounce things off my sponsor and others, how I sponsor continues to evolve. And I talked a little bit about that, like not doing the cookie cutter thing. In the very beginning, I didn't know my own voice. I didn't like trust myself. I called my sponsor for everything when I first started sponsoring. This per you know, I have a sponsee that says they can't call in their food until 11 a.m. What do I do? Oh my God, you know? And it's just like, okay, that's not where I am today, but that's where I was then because I was like, just I wanted to do it. And there's no such thing as right, right? I heard that this morning in a meeting. It's like, I think the speaker said something along the lines of there's no good program or bad program. There is a program we all work, right? And that's the program. And so a good sponsor or bad, it's like, okay, how do I sponsor? It's the experience that I have. I've become more comfortable in my skin, and I feel like that is a gift, not only in the rooms, but outside of the rooms. Like, how do I, you know, set boundaries? How do I use my, you know, use my voice and say what I need to say? How do I, you know, if I'm uncomfortable, like to say it, it's okay. How about I don't know? That's an answer. I may not have the answer. I don't have to have all the answers. And so all of that has just, I've gotten more comfortable with it over time. At the end of the day, when I work with a sponsee, it's like, are they being open, honest, and willing? Right? Are they showing up? That's a good enough start. Yes, I suggest 30 minutes, for example, of quiet time. You know, but I remember when I first started, like sitting quiet for 1 minute was hard. I felt like people were looking at me and judging me, and I'm the only person sitting in the room by myself. And so if someone says I can do 5 minutes, 10 minutes, if that's where you got to start, then that's where you start. As long as, you know, we just build from there. And where I don't like where I'm inflexible is when it comes to completing assignments. Like I'm setting aside my time, we're calendaring time in advance, and I'm preparing, and I expect my sponsees to be prepared as well, like to have read and to have listened to the podcast so that we can continue going through the steps together. If it's like a few times of just like, oh, something came up, then we just can't work together and I'll work with someone else. And then lastly, I'll just say that, the big book states that practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. And that has been my absolute experience sponsoring. So I am grateful, to be here. And thanks again for allowing me to share. I'll pass.